Last week we talked about excuses. Excuses on why we can't serve God. The week before we talked about Uzziah and how he started out good and then kind of fell off the wayside because he failed to listen to the men of God. Then we asked a question about what God is able to do. You know, we're all supposed to be used of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And here's the reasons why. Verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be used of Him, vessels of honor in our own way, but for His glory and His will. Sanctified, set apart, and meet for the Master's use. It's God who saved us. It's God who's created us. It's God who's given us the Holy Spirit. It's God who's given us spiritual gifts. It's God that's given us talents. And we're supposed to use those for Him. And so the question tonight is, are you being used of God? Meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. You can go out and you can find people with tools. Some tools may look good, but they're made of the wrong stuff. You're not going to do any woodworking with wood tools. It's not going to work. Why? They're not hard enough. They're not strong enough. They don't do the function that they look like they can do, but they're incapable of doing it. Folks, if you don't have Christ in your heart, if you don't have a relationship, you are incapable of doing anything for God. Christian, we have Christ. So it's not just the outside appearance. It's what's on the inside that makes us a vessel fit for use. You know, you may be something that really looks really pretty, but worthless. Or you might have worth, but you'll mess it up. And some people say, "I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to do things like this." Folks, you'll never do anything for God unless you're willing. You never do anything for God unless you're willing to get your hands dirty. You're never going to do anything for God unless you're willing to be marred up and maybe scarred a little bit, maybe scratched a little bit. You know, those scratches and those scars and those mars are things of honor to God. God, I did that for God. Then there may be tools that I think I'm a tool, but I don't know what it is and I can't be useful. Folks, it's not what we think we should be. It's what God makes us to be. I have no idea what that thing would do. And no one else that picked that up would figure it out either, unless it's a saw, okay? But there's a lot of people that should be used of God that will say, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what my strengths are. I don't know what my gifts are." We've gone through the gifts. Asked you all to examine yourselves. We've gone through talent. And people, "I just don't understand." Have you tried? If you never try, you'll never know. But you know something? The tools that are usable are the old standard. Amen. And when God uses anything, you know, you have a favorite tool, you're going to keep on using it, because you know it's going to be meet for the use that you have. And so tonight I want to ask, are you a familiar tool with God? Can God count on you to the job that He's created you to do? You know, the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark. We're supposed to go back. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget the things that have happened in the past where God's used you. You know what? He can use you again. Amen. You're never done with God until He says we're done. And you know something? When He takes us out of here, we're still not done. Because you know what we're going to be doing in heaven? for eternity, praising Him, glorifying Him. You know, this issue, there will be a marriage supper, but this issue that I'm going to retire in heaven, it's not going to happen. God's created us to what? Glorify Him. So tonight, real quickly, I want to go through seven things about what we need in our lives to be used of God. And the issue is that we need to have God's perspective in each of these items. The first one is that we need to let Him, God, think through your mind. We need to be on the same page that God is on. We need to have the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. If you don't think for what the job is, you'll never get the job done. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says this: "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Do you think on God's laws? Do you think on God's purposes? Do you think on God's word? Those are things that we do. If we don't think that way, God can't use us. We won't be a vessel unto honor. We need to understand, let God put His thoughts and ideas in your mind. You know, we say, okay, I'm open to what God has. But when He opens the door, what will He find? You know, we have a door like this in our office. It's the door to nowhere. You open it up and there's a wall. Why did we put it there? Because it made all the other furniture fit together and all the other walls fit together. But it's useless. So is a mind that's not conducive to God is useless. And so, God opens the door. When He opens the door of your mind, what does He find? Does He find a brick wall that says, I don't want to hear anything that you have for me? You know, sometimes we think our kids are like that, right? We tell them that, open up, and we tell them and nothing happens. When God asks you to do something, and you know the Holy Spirit's working on your heart, what's your response? Is it a brick wall when He opens the door? Or is it an open door where Christ can come in? God needs our cooperation. You know, Romans 12 says this, be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Do you need your mind renewed tonight? God can't use us as a vessel of honor unless He has control of our mind. Unless we're receptive to that. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says this, for to be carnally minded is death. Not necessarily a physical death, but a death to spiritual things. God can't use somebody that's in the world and just engrossed in it and tied up in it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, stand fast in liberty and don't be entangled in the yoke of bondage. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace, because you'll be used of God. So the first thing is we need to let God control our mind. And we need to think His thoughts. Secondly, we need to let Him look through our eyes. And we need to look through eyes as God sees. In Psalm chapter 141 verse 8 it says, but mine eyes are unto Thee, O God the Lord, and Thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. We went through the Sermon on the Mount, and Christ talked about the eye. He says the eye is where everything that you see, obviously, goes into your life. Who do you see? Do you see God? Or do you see other things? When you look out, do you see opportunities for God? Or do you see things that you have to do for yourself? See, the issue is that we need to have Him control our eyes. You know, Satan attempts to divert our attention. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and what? the lust of the eyes. You know, Satan has all sorts of distractions out there. All sorts of distractions out there to take our focus and our eyes off of him. And off of God. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. In Psalm chapter 101 verse 3, David writes, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. What do you set before your eyes? Do you set godly things? We went through Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are lovely, pure, just, holy, to be in praise, think on these things. That's your mind. But what do you let come through your eyes? God wants us to see the condition and needs of others. Craig Ossoff this morning used this passage. We went through this last week about some people make an excuse because they just don't want to even see the need. Matthew chapter 25 verses 44 and 45 says, then they also answered him saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? Because they weren't looking. They weren't looking. They were looking about other things. They were thinking about other things. Then shall he answer them saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Does God have control of your mind? Is his thoughts your thoughts? Is his will your direction? What do you look at? Do you even look at God's word during the week? Or do you look at stuff that you shouldn't be looking at all? When you turn on your computer, where you go? What do you see through your eyes? What do you hear through your ears? Let him hear through your ears. Isaiah chapter 22 verses. Okay, we'll go back. 22 verse 14. Okay? And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts. Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from to you until he die, saith the Lord God of hosts. Very shortly, we're going to get to Matthew 13. The parable of the sower. And it says this in 13 verse 22, talk about the seed that was put in thorny ground. It says, he that also receives seed among thorns is he that what? Heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Why aren't there more churches having services on Sunday night anymore? Why are there no churches, no church on Wednesday night? What happened? What has happened to us over the last 20 years that we don't have the opportunities to worship in church like we used to? Because the world has beckoned to the church and the church has listened. The world has beckoned to the church and it's seen it. And the church sees it and says, yeah, we can do it that way. Reading through the book of Ezra, the people stood up in the morning and they started reading the word and they read it all day long. We go 45 minutes and we say, where's the beef? You know? Now, where's our desire to hear the word? Where's our desire to see God work? Let him work through this. You know, what would have happened if Peter and John had walked by that beggar that was at the gate beautiful? Or they were having their own conversation and ignored the true need? Because it says in Acts chapter 3, he said he was crying for alms. He was crying. He was making a request for alms. And Peter heard it and said, I don't have any money, but I can do this in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. What would have happened if they were just talking? You know, what happens if people come in that really have a true need and want to talk to somebody, and we're so interested in talking to each other that we don't see or hear the cry for help of other people. We have got to hear people's cry, church. We can't be so distracted by our own lives and by what we're going to do tomorrow that we forget to do something today. Does God have control of your mind? Does He have control of your eyes? Does He have control of your hearing? Let Him speak through your voice. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. God speaks through us. This morning we saw Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? See, over and over again I said, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And just like the illustration this morning where He divided, He said, these people are going to heaven and these people aren't. They have no chance. What do we need to do over here? How will they hear without a preacher? Well, I'm not a preacher, but you have a mouth, and we all are commanded to do what? Witness. Amen. We're all commanded to do witness. And God will take care of that. Don't make an excuse, well, I can't talk or I'm scared or anything else. Don't make those excuses. Let Him speak through your voice. Friday night, I went to a graduation of our pilot, or our F-16 pilots. And I'm appalled by people who say they are Christians and say they're walking with God and the language that comes out of their mouth. There is no way that the Spirit is controlling them. I'm appalled by Christians, some in this church, that will do the same thing. James chapter 3 says, if you can bridle your tongue, you can control your whole body. And see, we need to start somewhere. And I strongly suggest that we start with our speech. That our speech needs to be Spirit controlled. Because we don't realize who's hearing. There's a lot of people that overhear things, and then all of a sudden, things get blown way out of proportion. That's not God. That's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You read the words of Christ in the New Testament, and you see where He didn't talk holiness and righteousness and all those things. And we're supposed to be like Him. Does God have control over us? Do we have our mind filled with God? Do we have our eyes fixed on Him? Are we listening for the still small voice? Are we able to speak grace to the hearers? Let Him speak through your voice. Let Him work through your hands. John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest not thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in you, He doeth the works. Remember our first passage, that there are vessels to honor and some to dishonor. The vessels to honor are the ones that are meet for the Master's use. You know, we can look to the harvest, and we need more laborers, and we need to go out and harvest and everything else. And that is the command of God. But what about little things that people could do in the church? What about something that would just help out? And say, hey, I could do that. Or if you see something, don't go tell somebody about it. Take care of it. Take care of it. Let him work through your hands. You know, we just need to do it for the right reason. If we're doing it for the right motivation, we will get our reward of him. So let him work through your mind. Let him see through your eyes. Let him hear through your ears, or hear him through your ears. Go do what he wants you to do. Let him work with your hands. And let him go with your feet. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. They are on the other side. They are on the eastern side of the Jordan. 40 years have passed. It is now time to go in and take the promised land. Because that generation of unbelievers have gone away. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, it says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Let neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Everybody read it. Whithersoever thou goest. Now what does whithersoever thou goest means? Everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. He's with you. And we need to let him go through our feet and do what he's supposed to. God needs people to go do his work. God's not going to knock on doors. God's not going to help someone who needs some help at their house. He needs people who are following God to do that. God needs your feet to go for him. And lastly, let God live love through your heart. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. When we were born, we were programmed with a need for love. And you know what that was? To motivate us to search for God. To find love in him. To seek for him so we could have a relationship with him. When you go and you think of love, you see all these pictures of a man and a woman and everything else. But that's not what... It's not romantic love here. It's sacrificial love. It's to reach out and look for the ones that are hurting. And to sense their need. And out of your compassion, serve them. And help them. Tonight, do we love like Christ? I think we could all do better. Do we love like Christ? That's the thing. If we love like Christ, everything else is going to come into play. We need to model this to our kids, to our fellow believers, at work. We need to think and let God control our mind. We need God to control our eyes. We need him to control our ears and our speech and our hands and our feet, motivated by love for him. We'll end the service in a little odd way tonight. Let's sing a song. You know, we teach this to our kids, but how far have we gone away from this adult? How far have we gone from this? Let's sing it, okay? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. But there's more. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where we go. Where you? For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. Oh, be careful, little heart, who you trust. For your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little heart, whom you trust. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mind, what you think. You know, we teach our kids to sing this. We need to do it ourselves. This is exactly what we preach tonight. Have we gotten away from a childlike faith in Christ? Have we gotten away from doing the things that we know that we should be doing, and we're not doing it because we're hearing the wrong things, or seeing the wrong things, or speaking the wrong things, or going to the wrong places, or putting our hands to the wrong work, or thinking bad thoughts, or not trusting and not loving other people? What about it, Christian tonight? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask that you search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow. Help us, Lord, to not make excuses, but to allow you to have total control of our lives. Lord, you say in your word that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price. We're bought with the precious price of your Son's blood. Help us to reverence that. Help us, Lord, to have your mind, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your love, your hands, your feet. Father, be with us. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Not to temptation, for